on this episode of Conspiracy Theorist.
That's what we do here. We have fun, we tease. We bait, and then we switch.
Reynolds, my good man!
Lightweight, got drunk after one glass of champagne.
Put it on a tree or something, I don't care.
I actually did find some different theories about what could have happened to Roanoke based on the beliefs of the Crotoan tribe.
Maybe zombies, maybe forest spirit.
What's going on, YouTube? Back with another Harlem Shake tutorial video on my WikiHow. Those are some short. Are those short, or am I just...
No, they're short.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like...
I'm a thigh guy now.
Oh, he's a thigh guy. All right, fair enough.
I haven't worked out enough to justify being a thigh guy, but I am a thigh guy.
Well, I think that's what makes you... I think that's what makes a thigh guy a thigh guy.
Yeah, being a thigh guy is more about the confidence than it is...
Of the thigh, yeah.
Yeah. You could have the worst thighs.
You could have thigh energy without having the thighs to back it up.
Anyways, folks, welcome back to another episode of Conspiracy Realists. I realized last time we didn't say our names or anything. We were just like, hey, welcome to the show. And then I was like, all right, this week we're talking.
We were like, so I don't even remember recording that one, to be honest.
Well, I do because I did it twice. Fun insider facts for everyone who listened to the last episode and this one. My audio quality was so bad that I just re-recorded all of it without Nick. So I just listened back to his recording and then re-recorded my own responses. If it all sounded unnatural, that's why. It wasn't real. It was not live.
It's unbelievable to me still.
I spent 7 hours trying to get it to sound good. And then I was like, it would take less time. Just re-record it. And it did. So anyways, we took a little hiatus. Well, we're back and we're here and we're ready. And I'm Austin Harvey and he's Nick Sarnelli.
You're watching Disney Channel.
What do you got for me today? I know what you got for me, but for the sake of novelties.
A black cherry seltzer.
No, I don't give a f*** what you're drinking, you alky. Mind always on the bottle, this guy. I'm talking about the conspiracy, the point of the podcast. And you're like, oh, this is the alcohol I'm drinking.
The bubbles make my little boy belly hurt.
Bubble boy belly.
All right, let me get my narration. Our story this week starts in Baltimore on October 3rd, 1849, with a man named Joseph W. Walker, a compositor for the Baltimore Sun. Despite the cold, rainy weather, Joe was out and about the town, heading to a place called Gunner's Hall, a nearby public house which also served as a pop-up polling station for Baltimore's election. When Walker arrived at Gunner's Hall, he found a delirious man dressed in secondhand clothing, semi-conscious and unable to move, lying in the gutter. In Joseph's own words, written in a letter to a local magazine editor named, and I'm not kidding you, Joseph Snodgrass.
Sure. Sure.
In a letter to Joseph Snodgrass, Walker said, "Dear sir, there is a gentleman here, rather worse for the wear, at Ryan's 4th Ward Polls, who goes under the cognomen of Edgar A. Poe, and who appears in great distress, and he says he is acquainted with you. He is in need of immediate assistance, yours, in haste, Joseph W. Walker." And the man he found in the gutter, Edgar A. Poe, was the writer Edgar Allan Poe. And these are the mysterious circumstances surrounding his death. So how much do you know about Edgar Allan Poe's death?
Well, I know he died.
Well, I mean, even if it wasn't in mysterious circumstances.
Well, I heard that, I know there was one theory or rumor or whatever that he had rabies or something, that he had, something was weird about it, because why wouldn't it be? Because it's Edgar Allan Poe. Like, why wouldn't his death also be cryptic and weird? It's really all I don't know too much more than that, or at least I don't remember.
So yeah, there are a couple of different theories, but the story basically goes that a week before his death on September 27th, Poe left Richmond, Virginia, headed to Philadelphia for an editing job, revising the works of a minor poet named Marguerite St. Leon Loud. However, he never made it to Philadelphia or back to his home in New York, where he was meant to escort his aunt back to Richmond for his upcoming wedding. No one ever found out why or how Poe wound up in Richmond, and after being found by Walker on the 3rd of October, Poe spent the next 4 days in bouts of delirium, having conversations with figures that weren't really there. After becoming a slave to his hallucinations on October 7th, 1849, he died, having never regained any sort of coherent sense of mind. I found 6 pretty base-level theories. The most obvious one was that he drank himself to death, because he was, like many famous authors, a known alcoholic.
Sure.
And Gunner's Hall was both the public polling station and a bar.
All right, fair enough.
Another one suggests he was a victim of something called cooping. It was where gangs would kidnap a person and force them to commit voter fraud. And pre-prohibition, alcohol was given to voters as a reward. So it's possible that he was cooped several times and then just given alcohol.
And then what, just died from being pissed drunk and beat the shit out of?
I guess.
Well, who was voting? Why were they voting? What was the voting
just for? Like a public election. It wasn't really like.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So like think like whatever your nearest, but like for me, it's like the high school. If I was just like outside the high school, just like pissed drunk.
My name's Edgar Allan Poe. Could you hit up my friend Joe Snodgrass?
Snodgrass!
This guy wrote a letter, too, which I don't know how quickly... Was that the most effective way of getting this guy?
No!
Okay, man, what's going on? Okay. Hey! Hey! Someone! Take this letter!
I guess they just had to do that back then.
I guess. I'm assuming he, like, maybe took him home first, and then penned the letter while he was at his house. The third theory was I found an article titled The Grave of Poe, which was written in 1872 by Eugene Didier, which claims that Poe ran into some old friends who had invited him to drink. Poe, unable to control his drink, became drunk after one glass of champagne, wandered out into the street, and then was beaten and mugged. Seems like an insult if he was like an alcoholic. Lightweight, got drunk after one glass of champagne.
I mean, he could have not eaten that day.
True, true. And it was, I mean, that was written 30 years after his death, so it could have been.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Another theory suggested heavy metal or carbon monoxide poisoning. Researchers and historians suggested that high levels of heavy metals, such as mercury or carbon monoxide from the coal used in indoor heating, may have caused his death. Symptoms of mercury poisoning also include delirium and hallucinations. There's what you said, that he had rabies, and then other people suggested he might have had a brain tumor.
Oh, that would do that too, yeah.
The other interesting thing is that right before his death, Poe started calling out for a man named Reynolds, and no one at the time or in the almost 250 years since has been able to identify who Reynolds was. So, as far as anybody knows, there just was nobody named Reynolds in Poe's life.
Yeah, it was just one of his imaginary. He was just seeing a million.
Reynolds!
My good man,
Reynolds.
There was one other thing Poe said on his deathbed. A word that has resurfaced time and time again throughout history. Always at the scene of a mysterious disappearance. And that word was Croatoan.
Oh, that's how that connects. Yeah,
that's how it connects. I did a little switcherooski.
You swapped my pop.
That's what we do here. We have fun. We tease.
We bait.
We bait and then we switch.
Yo, can you hear it? Can you hear my laptop? Through my mic.
Is it on fire?
It is on the sun.
Not really. I can't really hear it that much.
Okay, then fair enough. I hope it doesn't f-ing explode because it sounds like it's going to.
Anyway, where was I?
Croatoan.
Thunder, lightning, thunder. So I found other historical disappearances that have weird connections to the word Croatoan. There was a robber known as Black Bart. His real name was Charles E. Bowles, but everybody called him Black Bart. He was being held in prison, and immediately upon being released, he disappeared. When guards searched his cell afterwards, they found the word Croatoan etched into one wall of his cell.
That's a little weird. That's pretty weird.
There was another instance. The horror author Ambrose Bierce disappeared, and the last bed that he slept in had the word Croatoan carved into the bedpost.
Ew. Ooh, that's weird.
Croatoan also appeared in the logbook of the ghost ship Carol A. Deering in 1921, which ran aground on Cape Hatteras, which I believe was the homeland of the Croatoan people.
Weird.
And then I know we had already kind of talked about this one back on the episode 11 spectacular. But the word Croatoan was also found written down in Amelia Earhart's journal after she disappeared.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. That's weird. Well, it's just interesting that they all deal with disappearances and Croatoan etched.
Every instance, too, it was found after they disappeared. Except for Edgar Allan Poe's, because he spoke it. But
still.
Everybody else, they disappeared. Or in the case of the ship ran aground. And then in the books or in the cell or on the bedpost or whatever, they found the word Croatoan written down.
Yeah. All right. Shit. Creepy.
Yeah. Which, of course, leads us back to the original instance of the word Croatoan, which is the Roanoke colony. Roanoke is one of the most infamous mysteries in American history. The story is that back in 1587, 20 years before the establishment of Jamestown, which was considered to be America's first European settlement, a group of English settlers set sail across the Atlantic Ocean and came ashore on Roanoke Island, just off the coast of modern-day North Carolina. Its governor was a man named John White. John's family accompanied him on the journey, including his wife and daughter, and in his short time in Roanoke, John's daughter gave birth to a child named Virginia Dare, officially making her the first English child born in America. Shortly after, John set sail one more time for England in order to gather fresh supplies for the colony. But just as soon as he arrived, a war broke out between England and Spain, and Queen Elizabeth called on all available ships to fight back against the Spanish Armada. Between the sudden outbreak of war and the commandeering of his ship, John White was kept from returning to Roanoke for 3 whole years. When he finally returned to the colony in August of 1590, he found no trace of any of the inhabitants, which officially makes Roanoke America's first ghost town. The only clue he found was 3 letters carved into a tree, C-R-O, and then a single word carved into a wooden post, which was Croatoan.
So he went back, and then when he went back, they got in a war with Spain, and so he couldn't go back for 3 years. Then he did after 3 years too.
I'm thinking he literally is like, all right, family, friends, townspeople, I know things have been rough here, but by God, we are the first colonizers of this new land.
What about the Indians?
Never mind them. We are the first people. The first civilized people to settle our, to stroke our on this land. Our mighty English, but alas, runneth low on supplies, ye we be, and returneth home to thine fair kingdom. We shall. And so him and like 20 other guys got on a boat and they were like, see you soon, toodaloo. And they sailed off and then, as soon as they got back to England, they were like, ah, smell that good English air, gents.
Oh, yeah, mate. Oh, sorry, bro. We gotta take your ship.
What?
Yeah, man. Big war broke out. Spanish. Gotta take your ship, man. Sorry.
Well, probably be getting that back sooner rather than later.
Didn't they have at least the Roanoke colony, pseudo-colony, whatever the f*** it was, have relations with some Native Americans that were there?
They did, yeah. There were a couple tribes in the area that they had developed relationships with. And that actually gets into the first of the theories as to why they would have carved Croatoan into the wood. And it's a really simple explanation. Croatoan was the name of an island near Roanoke. And it was also the name of the Native American tribe who lived on the island. Historical records show that the Croatoan tribe was originally welcoming and peaceful in their interactions with the Roanoke colonists. So the more optimistic theories suggest that the colonists carved Croatoan in as a way of basically saying, like, yo, we packed up and moved to Croatoan and dropped by.
Yeah, we had good relations with these people. They helped us out. We're just going to move with them because this place sucks and clearly isn't anything. I thought I read something. I have no source for this, but I swear to God I read it or heard it somewhere that John White had, they had a contingency plan for if it took him a while to come back, and that was to write where they were going on a tree or a post or something. So they did that as the, like, oh yeah, we're doing this to let you know.
Right. Literally said that. Yeah. He was like, all right, if you guys leave, just let me know where you go. And they did.
Put it on a tree or something. I don't care.
And they started, it's almost like they started writing it in the tree and they're like, oh, I wrote it too big. It's not going to fit.
He did the C-R-O so big. And then they're like, shit, trying to chisel. But all right, let's just use the sign.
It's like I would always do that on the edges of my papers in elementary school. And just cram the last couple of letters in.
That type of, since the invention of writing, that had to have been a problem. You know what I mean? Like some, even like hieroglyphs, like Egyptians were like, shit, I made the bird too big. I don't have room for the rest of the sun god. Scratching it out.
Oh, mighty Ra, bestow your light upon this land.
Oh, sorry, man. I ran out of almighty. There's no space after that.
So,
and it's a stone tablet, so you can't erase
it. There were originally 11 commandments.
What was the 11th one? What's the one we're missing?
Thou shalt not write too fucking big on these stone slabs. God, don't be mad.
I only got 10.
I kind of wrote.
It was like the most important one, too. It was like commandment number 11, don't be a dick.
It's like that would have solved all the issues of everything.
But because we missed that one, we just took the first 10. Oh, man, this shit just got up after that. Oh, man, do you guys think I'm still going to get into heaven?
Oh, shit.
Oh, man, our God is an angry God.
Well, I wouldn't be so angry if you would write in regular size.
Did Moses bring the stone tablets?
I think so.
He's like the original court stenographer. They always say prostitution is the world's oldest profession, but that's not true. It's court stenography. Kudos to all my court stenographers out there. You're doing God's work.
Literally.
Another theory suggested that the Roanoke colonists were murdered by Spaniards during the war. And then there were a few theories suggesting that they might have been either victims of cannibals or resorted to cannibalism because they ran out of food, or that they were victims of an infectious disease, which are all
plausible.
So there are a bunch of logical explanations for what might have happened at Roanoke, but there are some less logical theories. And these are the ones that, of course there are. The first one is from the Zombie Research Society.
Well, sure. Where are they based out of?
I don't know.
Was it just like a... The Zombie Research Society, is that a global thing or just an American thing? Or
according to their about page, the Zombie Research Society was originally founded in 2007 by author and zombie expert Matt Mogg.
Okay.
As an organization dedicated to the historic, cultural, and scientific study of the living dead. Our small community of authors, academics, and scholars quickly became the ultimate authority on the undead. And as our reputation grew, so did our influence.
Naturally. Okay, so what do they think about Rona?
Well, let me actually, I just saw, here's what they define as a zombie. A zombie is defined as a relentlessly aggressive human or reanimated human corpse driven by biological infection. Enthusiastic debate regarding the historic scientific and cultural study of zombies is essential to the survival of the human race. The zombie pandemic is inevitable, and survival of the human race is crucial. It's simply a matter of when, so be prepared. So one researcher from the Zombie Research Society named Andre Freeman believes he found evidence that the Roanoke settlers were victims of zombies.
What?
He says the findings of Harvard archaeologist Lawrence Stager, who claimed to have found evidence of mass cannibalism at the Roanoke site, said that local tribes reported the colonists died in a small-scale civil war. According to Freeman, a sudden undead plague sweeping through the unprepared colony would quickly become a horrific, violent feast, leaving not a single man, woman, or child alive. The Zombie Research Society also says that because of how isolated Roanoke was and the amount of time between John White leaving for England and returning, the zombie outbreak would have had time to die off since the zombies ran out of humans to feed on.
Yeah, or maybe a purple unicorn shoved dildos up their asses and did a dance. Like, that's, I just presented the exact same amount of evidence and credibility that they did with it. They just said that, maybe.
Given how unexplored America was at the time, the unicorns hadn't yet had time to be eradicated. Therefore, a unicorn with enough angst and enough dildos could have theoretically shoved one dildo up the ass of every Roanoke citizen. Could have.
I'm actually part of the unicorn dildo society. It's just a sort of a small niche group of authors that we're experts on unicorn dildo culture, ethics, and there's a lot that goes into it, really.
Yeah, our group of authors, researchers, academics, scholars, and bronies has, over time, become the definitive authority on all things unicorn. It's kind of a big deal, you know, we don't like to talk about it too much on the pod.
Yeah, it's a separate keyword that's separate from what we do here.
Right. You know, they say you don't mix business and pleasure, but we don't mix business and business.
That's right. Except for the bathwater thing and the Mongolian deathworm fleshlight thing and the Jersey Devil.
Right. Well, that's.
But that's brand. That's, well, that's merchandise. Like
franchising.
That's merchandise.
Yeah.
That's merchandise.
Yeah. That's. No, that's kosher. And we got to keep the businesses separate until we get Disney levels of big.
Right.
And then we buy out our own company. And I think that's a tax write-off.
When we're working with those kind of figures, anything could be a tax write-off if you can dream it.
I mean, yeah, when you're working with that amount of money, they don't even charge you taxes anymore.
Yeah, you just get to do whatever. Okay, so zombies. Well, I mean, I thought it was going in the direction of like a Native American tribe that was particularly, I don't know, ruthless. Killed them all, which is plausible. And if it was cannibalism, then, I mean, they very well, you don't know. I don't think that was common at all in Native American tribes, but there were a bunch of different tribes. So
I actually did find some different theories about what could have happened to Roanoke based on the beliefs of the Croatoan tribe.
Mm.
The Croatoan tribe believed that Roanoke Island had a spirit who had the ability to absorb those who angered it into the woods. And that is not a metaphor. That is a literal interpretation. Anyone who pissed off this spirit would be turned into a tree, a rock, an animal, a flower, a fungus, literally transform them into the woods.
Wow.
So it's possible the Roanoke settlers did something to anger the spirit of the island, and they might not have disappeared at all. They might still be there.
Ooh, like because they're the... Yeah.
I mean, maybe. They could have been cut down or something.
Yeah, I mean, trees, that was hundreds of years ago. And
industrialization's pretty big in America.
Anyways, all right. So maybe zombies, maybe just forest spirits.
There's another Croatoan belief that says the greater spirits manifested themselves in the form of the different elements. So many tribes folk reported that birds fell from the sky, and that large numbers of wildlife abruptly died around the same time of the settlers' disappearance. One of these evil spirits, the Croatoan belief said, took the form of a reptile and could attach itself to humans, leading them to demonstrate demonic traits like violence and greed. So if the settlers were possessed by this evil spirit, that would explain the reports of the quick, small-scale civil war that they fought. And then there's another Croatoan story that speaks of witches who used black magic to cause harm to others, many of whom lived in the woods of North Carolina, leading some people to believe that the settlers were victims of witches.
Hmm.
And then, of course, alien abductions. Well, some people think it might have been alien abductions.
Sure they do.
There's no basis. I really tried looking for evidence. I saw one person mention it, and I really looked it up. There was no one else was suggesting.
No, I mean, you could say that about anything.
Yeah, aliens. So, of course, you know, that has to be considered as well. But you kind of got to it earlier. The truth is, John White and his crew never actually checked to see if
they made it to Groton.
They were going to, and then there was really bad weather, and the ship's captain apparently had lost 3 anchors already on the voyage back from England. He's like, I don't want to lose another anchor.
Fair enough.
So he's just like, all right, back to England. But a lot of people just think that the settlers kind of assimilated into the Croatoan tribe and lived out the rest of their days among them.
Right. That's plausible. That a tribe killing them, a disease killing them, that could happen.
Yeah, it really could have been any one of those things is very likely. The only issue is it doesn't explain the Amelia Earhart, Black Bart, Ambrose Pierce, and Edgar Allan Poe connections to the word Croatoan. I couldn't find any folklore or plausible explanation, so I had to do what every good academic does and turn to pop culture.
Fair enough.
And so there were other theories around the word Croatoan, which you actually might remember this one, in Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
Croatoan, it's a demonic virus that turns people into murderous, rabid creatures. It was put to use by Lucifer, Azazel, and Pestilence to wreak havoc on Earth. And the only other mention I could find of it in like TV and movies was in the Vampire Diaries. The Croatoans are monsters summoned by witches. Roanoke disappeared because a witch named Cassandra summoned it to terrorize the colonists and root out the lies of the Puritans. But because she herself was keeping a secret, the Croatoan killed her and broke free of her control and destroyed the entire village. But other than that, I could not find any link between the disappearance of Edgar Allan Poe, Amelia Earhart, Ambrose Pierce, Black Bart, and the word Croatoan. But it is a very freaky, weird connection.
Yeah. And just like dealing with the idea of disappearing in all cases.
That's the especially weird part about it was they disappeared. The word was found. And then the earliest origins of that word are, I mean, obviously the Croatoan tribe was around before Roanoke, but that's kind of the earliest indication of, you know, that's the earliest disappearance Croatoan being related kind of thing. So it's very bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's it's pretty much all I got today. It was a little bit of a quickie, little quickie boy. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, my mind's always going to go to something happening with the Croatoans, because they had good relationships with the Croatoans, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like the Croatoans killed them. So they wrote Croatoan. That's like, hey, this is who killed us.
Right. Yeah, they were pretty well known as a peaceful tribe.
I thought I read, too, that there was a tribe that there were like two. There were the Croatoans who they had a good relationship with. And then the other more near them on the mainland tribe. And I think they took one or two of these Native Americans back with them to England in the in-between.
Oh, I did not see that, but that's really interesting.
I believe I read that, I or at least saw that on something, one of the videos I watched or something.
Well, obviously those guys didn't come back. Like they either, because if they took some of the Native Americans back to England with them, when they returned back to Roanoke, you think those guys would have been like, hey, maybe we should go check in with my people. Yeah, $20 says they didn't make it out of England.
But yeah, so to me, it seems like, you know, more than likely just went to the Croatoans. Because it really isn't any, like any of the out there theories don't have a leg to stand on.
I'm pretty in on zombies.
Zombies. I mean, I think it's way more likely that if you're going to go with the theory of they were like eaten for whatever reason, it would be just like a cannibalistic Native American tribe that may or may not have existed. I mean, that's all just speculation at that point, just like zombies. But
at the same time, the Zombie Research Society. Pretty credible
group of people. They are a pretty credible group of people. That's true.
They're like up there with the Flat Earth Research Society, you know? If you have a society in your name, that's...
You've already done all it. You've already done it.
It's like having a PhD.
Maybe better.
I think it might be. Anybody can get a PhD. Not anybody can be in a society.
We live in a society.
Well, thanks for tuning in, folks. Shit. Yeah, we do. I guess we are all in a society, so never mind in that one. Discredited, disproven, disingenuous,
disproportionate.
Disproportionate. These nuts.
These nuts. These nuts are disproportionate.
It's true. It's true. But frightfully so. Not even, it's not just that one hangs lower or that they're a little bit off. It is
different shapes entirely.
Yeah. I thought it was cancer. I went and got it looked at, and my doctor cupped my balls, and I coughed, and he said, cough again, and I coughed again, and then he asked me for a third time, and he looked really confused, not concerned confused, just confused, like it was a brand new discovery. And I, for a second, got excited, thinking, oh, man, I don't know what's going on down there, but I think I might be a part of some big medical
breakthrough.
I might be some... Yeah, it might be a big breakthrough for me. This might be like my moment. I don't even have to do anything. I just have to have really freaky ball cancer and my life is set. And so I got so excited thinking about the idea that I got erect.
Oh, God. What was the purpose of that story?
And I said, hey, doc, what's going on? And he said, nothing, man. You just got some weird fucking balls. Now get out of here.
After you...
Right. Okay. So at what point in there did I lose you?
Does that have 7 plot points?
It has a climax.
Well, all right, let's figure it out. All right. Plot point one. Yeah. You're seeing.
Well, plot point one, I exist. Yeah. I exist, right?
Sure.
And then I notice weird balls. That's the inciting incident is, oh, man, what's going on down there?
Okay, and the point of no return is going to the doctor.
Right. And the
or would it midpoint be, or would is it when... Be, or would it be... I guess the boner would be the point of no return.
I think that's the midpoint.
Okay. All right, I can see that, too.
Because up until that point, you're still on one trajectory, and then that's the point at which it kind of flips. It switches.
Yeah. All right. And then the low point.
The low point is the doctor's concerning look up to me and the third cough. And
the climax is quite
literally the climax. And the new normal is that doctor and I don't have a working relationship anymore.
That is pretty much all we have from our degrees. We could have learned that on YouTube. Anyways.
That's all we got. That's all we got for Roanoke.
There was a lot that I didn't know that went into it.
It's simultaneously a biggin' and a lil'in.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not really that much to it, but there is like, it's just shutting down a lot of stuff.
Because nobody f***ing really knows. That's what it boils down to.
And we probably never will, but that's fine.
Croatoan. And then we never release another podcast.
No. Oh, that would have been such a funny bit if we knew we were gonna stop.
Oh, and yeah. And then someone else's podcast, if they found ours years down the line, would put us in the list of people like Ed Gralico.
Oh, that'd be so funny.
Okay, that's committing to the bit.
Yeah, if you guys never hear from us again, actually assume that we didn't fake our disappearances and please look for us.
I don't want to be on a milk carton.
Right. And I don't even think they do that anymore, but they would for us in this situation.
Yeah, that wouldn't be like we're not important enough. They'd be like, well, give them the milk carton at least.
Yeah. Like, well, we can't do nothing.
2% skim.
Yeah.
We get a milk carton and it's
because that's what
milk.
People are gonna do.
They're gonna skim right past it.
Meanwhile, we're like half tree people at this point. We're like, please, someone just come along. We're being slowly turned into trees.
I'd like to be tall.
You do
a tree would be tall is what I
well not all
not
trees
all trees I guess. Dude, we should get really into trees.
Oh my God, is that a Douglas fir?
That sycamore could not get more sick. So sorry.
Whoa. A ginkgo.
What? A ginkgo? A ginkgo.
It's a type of... I Googled types of trees, and I was just trying to think of jokes going down. Whoa, a rubber fig. I hardly know her fig.
You did what to her fig?
I rubbed it. Okay, wait. That one's good. That's a good one. I stand by that.
Fair enough. All right. Grow an oak.
More like I'm going to grow an oak. like the tree.
Yeah.
Like the tree. And that's officially, we've hit the point of delirium. It's been a long week.
My name's Miriam. All right. Let's end this.
let's end this.
I'm done. Welcome back. Not welcome back.
It just starts a whole new episode.
Welcome to this What's Going On YouTube. We are back with another vape review. Today, we are going to be talking... Well, first of all, sorry. He's Austin Harvey. I'm Nick Cernelli. And today, we're going to be talking about the asshole of Amalur. Now, Austin, what do you know about...
Well, I know I bought Kingdoms of Amalur Remastered.
What is Amalur?
It's a video game. It was a PS3 video game. It was an action RPG.
Amalur. Amalur was a place.
It was the kingdom of.
So yeah, it's like a medieval Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, Amalur.
Yeah, like World of Warcrafty, kind of.
But the asshole of Amalur. Sort of the conspiracy that goes along with that.
Oh, man. Okay.
All right, man.
Hey, folks. Thanks for listening to Conspiracy Realists yet again. If ye have before, and for the first time, if ye have not. And we'll see you next week. Anyways, follow us on Instagram at TheConspiracyRealist. Follow us on Twitter at RealistsPod. Follow us on TikTok at ConspiracyRealists.
That's the normal one.
And, yeah, that's the normal one.
Are you pooping or are you shitting?
No.
You taking a shit?
Yeah.
Clearly pushing something out of your body.
Rate us 5 stars.
Why would you say that? Does it really sound like I'm shitting?
Dude, I would never shit on during podcast hour.
Hold it in. All right. Checkmate, bitch.
Checkmate, bitch.